Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Friday edition. And, folks, we've got a terrific program lined up for you today. This is a lot, folks, a lot is going on out there, and we're going to get to all of it. By the way, President Trump is holding not one, but two rallies today, one in Ocala, Florida, and the other in Macon, Georgia. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're probably going to get a report from our good friend, Gene the Superfan, and we will check in with Gene in just a little while. And we are also going to do a breakdown of what happened last night at the town halls. The ratings are out. And folks, I've got to give you a fake news alert here, because right now the ratings show Joe Biden beating President Trump in the viewership last night by about, I would say, a million viewers. That's not true. That is not accurate. And here's the reason why. And we'll talk more about this a little bit later. But I want to get this out of the way, because many of you are starting to see the reports coming out. And the reports, and you watch, the headlines will not be revised. Trump is going to have the larger viewership, and here's why. The NBC town hall was also broadcast on MSNBC, and it was also broadcast on CNBC. And those numbers have not been factored in yet. So when those numbers are factored in, the president is going to win the night. As a matter of fact, and this is the headline from one of the big Hollywood papers, The Wrap, Biden's ABC town hall tops Trump's on NBC. But that's not true, because they have not finished counting the numbers. On ABC, Biden drew 12.7 million viewers. Trump got 10.4. So a little over 2 million difference between the two. So don't be surprised. Trump is going to win the night. Can I just, before we get into this, I want to share a little bit of personal, just a moment of personal privilege, if you will. We have now officially been doing this program away from Fox News Channel for a year. And, you know, a lot of people in the Never Trump movement, a lot of folks in the mainstream media thought we were going to fall flat on our faces. That was it. And I want to share with you a little bit about what we've been up to as we celebrate the first year anniversary of this show after Fox News, and as we look to the future, because we're very excited about where this program is going. So here we are, 1 year later. And our website, 7 million monthly readers. The Todd Starnes commentary, our short-form commentary that many of you hear on your radio stations, 750 radio stations now carry that commentary. This radio program that you are hearing right now broadcast on 76 radio stations. And our podcast, 250,000 monthly downloads. 250,000 people around this country download our podcast every month. And our newsletter, almost 200,000 people now subscribe to our weekly newsletter. All that to say, thank you. And it's just incredibly humbling that you guys have taken time to be a part of what we are doing here, sharing our stories, being a part of the conversation, and we're just very humbled by that. And we also understand it's a great responsibility, and one that we do not take lightly. And our team works incredibly hard for you every single day. And folks, I'm going to make this promise to you. We're going to do it again all over next year. So thank you, and let's move on with the topics of the day. So look, last night, this town hall situation. Now, a couple of things about this town hall. Joe Biden, it was more like a coffee klatch with George Snuffleupagus, as they sat in lounge chairs and they had a leisurely conversation about the issues of the day. And there was nary a negative word or question raised of the former vice president. Meanwhile, over on NBC, it was a steel-caged death match. I have never seen anything like this. Savannah Guthrie came out, and I mean, she was like all of the squawking magpies on The View combined into one human being. What a horrible thing that happened last night. And by the way, President Trump, he was spot on accurate. He said, you know what, folks? Look, we're not making any bones about this. I'm telling you, we are being set up here with NBC. So President Trump knew going in this was a big setup, but you know what? He went anyway. And the reason he did that is because he wanted to reach out to the voters. And he wanted to tell those voters the truth. And Savannah Guthrie, what a horrible, horrible thing she did. I have to say this, and shame on NBC News, shame on Savannah Guthrie. Clearly, there is no moral compass guiding either the company or the person. She ought to be ashamed of herself. As a matter of fact, we've got a rundown of the number of questions. Again, it was what, a town hall, right? A town hall. And what's a town hall? That's when the citizens, the little folks, the average Joes, if you will, are able to ask questions of the candidates. Not the anchors, not the host, but the average Joes. That did not happen last night over on NBC. And we know that because Joe Concha over at Fox News, he was able to tally up the numbers. So get this. Savannah Guthrie asked 43 questions last night at the town hall. 43 questions. You know how many folks in the audience, the average Joes, got to ask questions? 10. Savannah Guthrie asked the president 43 questions, and the voters only got to weigh in 10 times. That's it. So what does that tell you? Well, it tells you that the fix was in. By the way, speaking of the fix, the only reason we were having these town hall gatherings is, of course, the second debate was canceled, the one that was supposed to be hosted by Steve Scully from C-SPAN, their political editor. And now we know the truth. You know, President Trump said that this was all a big fix, that the Commission on Presidential Debates was skewed to the Democrats. They were in the tank for the Democrats, and now we know that to be true. Steve Scully, of course, week before last, he was sending what he thought was a private message to Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch, an enemy of this president, and he said, Mooch, what should I do here? What should I do? How should I handle it? He was trying to get intel on how to handle Donald John Trump. And then Scully comes out after it's all out there and says, I was hacked. I was hacked. I would never do something so untoward because I work at C-SPAN and we're like, we're important and we're above the political fray. No, you know what? That guy slinging mud just like the rest of them. And now he got caught. So now we know that Steve Scully from C-SPAN is in the tank. He was a former Biden intern, for goodness sakes. And then the first guy, you got Chris Wallace, who's a registered Democrat over at Fox News. And then Scully posts this. So he's been suspended indefinitely, by the way, from C-SPAN. But he'll be back. Either that or he's going to get a job on Fox News Channel. Could you imagine the Scully and Brazil hour? That ought to be a load of fun. So you got Scully out there, and he posts a message, a very lengthy explanation of what happened. And this is fascinating. I've got to read this to you because it shows you a lot about who these people really are. This is Steve Scully. For several weeks, I was subjected to relentless criticism on social media and in conservative news outlets regarding my role as moderator for the second presidential debate, including attacks aimed directly at my family. This culminated on Thursday, October 8th, when I heard President Trump go on national television twice and falsely attack me by name. Out of frustration, I sent a brief tweet addressed to one Anthony Scaramucci. The next morning, when I saw that this tweet had created a controversy, I falsely claimed that my Twitter account had been hacked. So this guy is such a loser that he's blaming Trump and he's blaming us over here at the Todd Starnes radio program and all the other conservative folks out there. He's blaming us for lying. So Steve Scully has no moral center, and he's blaming that on the president and me, your friendly neighborhood broadcaster. He never apologized to the only people he apologized to were folks in the mainstream media. And they're just as morally bankrupt as that guy is. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number, that's 844-747-8868. Steve is hanging out with us in Central Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. Steve, what do you think about this media we've got?
My two feelings after watching that fiasco last night, Todd, is I think it's kind of ironic. The media has their shining star, their big helmet sticker for almost the last 50 years is the exposing the Nixon cover-up and how they got a president to resign and all this stuff. And they are so unaware of what they're doing, or they don't realize they're doing the main cover-up for the biggest political scandal in history. I cannot believe that all that went on last night and nothing was ever brought up about these emails.
Now, let me jump in here, Steve. You are absolutely correct. There was not a word asked, not a single question asked about Burisma, nothing about the Ukrainians, nothing about the emails. They completely avoided that topic. And I'm telling you, Steve, there's more evidence of corruption involving the Bidens and the Ukrainians than there ever was with President Trump and the Russians.
How can you explain that other than call it a cover-up?
It is a cover-up. It is a cover-up.
To me, there's no other logical explanation.
Based on what we know, crimes were committed, and the question is, anybody going to investigate? But actually, the question ought to be, is anybody ever going to go to jail? Because they investigate out the wazoo, wasting all of our tax money, Stephen. The Republicans do this as well. And nobody's ever brought to justice.
Yeah. I mean, it's more than just this Biden scandal. It's a continuous cover-up by the media for the Democratic Party for their policies and everything else, just by the things they do not tell people. Another thing I want to point out is, I think the more they continue this Democratic cover-up slash Trump lynching in the media, they're so dull that they don't realize the more they do that, the more they're guaranteeing a Trump victory.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen, Steve, but I'm not sure it's going to happen. And I say that because most people are getting their news from Twitter and Facebook, more so Facebook. And when you've got Facebook and Twitter out there intentionally blocking important news stories, I mean, people act like the New York Post is like the National Enquirer or one of the supermarket rags. This is one of the oldest newspapers in America. And by the way, one of the largest newspapers in America, at least in the top five or six. So we're talking about a reputable news organization here reporting this information on Biden. So, Steve, I hate to do this. We've got to skedaddle. I've got to take a break. Thank you for calling, though. And Steve is right about something else. Ever since Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein broke the Watergate story, every single reporter wants to be the next Woodward and Bernstein. Every single one. That's what they teach in journalism school. And they have corrupted journalism in America. So, look, we're going to take a break. We're opening up the phone lines, getting your thoughts about last night's town hall gatherings. Also, we're starting to hear reports of a red wave coming. Do you believe that we are going to see a red wave hit on Election Day? 844-747-8868. Toll-free number, that's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us. By the way, real quick, a lot of folks want to weigh in, and we're going to go right to the phones in just a second. But I want to share this this new info with you. I mentioned a red wave. A lot of people are predicting that in spite of all the polling out there, and again, we don't believe the polling. We don't buy into the polling here on this radio show. But they're predicting Biden in a landslide win, upwards of a double digit. I mean, if this happens, there will be nothing like this in the history of the Republic. All right, folks. So anyway, there's some new data out there from the University of New York at Stony Brook. Dr. Helmut Norpoth has been prognosticating these presidential elections. Using some sort of an election model, and he has correctly predicted 25 out of the 27 presidential elections. So this is pretty interesting stuff here. Dr. Norpoth is projecting that Donald Trump is going to win in an electoral college landslide, 362-176. 362-176. So we're posting this on the live show blog. You can see it for yourself. And again, that it is what it is, as the president says. All right, let's get to the phones here. We have a couple of lines that are open at 844-747-8868. Jeff is driving through the great state of Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind today?
Hey, how's it going? I'm just a brand new listener to your show, and so far I really, really like it, actually. I apologize. I wanted to agree with the red wave that's coming. I think that Americans really underestimated as far as this next election is going to go. I think Donald Trump is going to win almost exactly what that estimate was you just gave, 362 to whatever it was.
362 to 176.
I think that's 99% accurate right there. People are so fed up with the fake news media, and nobody could see the fake news better than the covering of the President of the United States when he was just a human being in the hospital. Anybody could see just how sick and vile the fake news media was during that few days. I think that really turned a lot of people in the United States off, as far as fake news coverage of the president anyway.
Well, Jeff, you know, just think about this. Here you have the president just survived the China virus, and now he's out doing two-a-days. You know, yesterday he did the town hall, and earlier in the day, he had a big rally. Today, he has two rallies in two different states. I mean, the man has more energy, I think, than many millennials out there. I think he could run around one of these pajama boy snowflakes or the Mexican Manchu wearing feminist out there. So, hey, Jeff, welcome to the family. We're so excited to have you with us. And if you're not in Memphis, you can go to toddstarnes.com and get a list of all the other radio stations that carry us. And you can also listen on our live stream. And a lot of you folks do that at toddstarnes.com. Tom in Missouri, Jamie in Arkansas, Gene the Superfan, plus your calls coming up, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Thank you.
So
he does. You're so handsome when you smile.
Oh my! She does know the president's a married man, happily married. But certainly, that was one of the funnier moments. You know, there are a couple of observations here, and Kayleigh McEnany over on Twitter, and I'm going to call this up as we're chatting here. because McEnany says, contrary to what you saw, and by the way, did you notice the sweat? People were commenting, oh, the president's under stress. He's sweating. No, everybody was sweating. Did they turn the air conditioning off? You can't trust these people in the mainstream media. These are very bad people. And I would not be surprised if they intentionally shut off the air conditioning to make it look like the president was sweating like Richard Nixon back in 1960. Kayleigh McEnany, by the way, says Twitter is against us, the media is against us, big tech is against us, the swamp is against us, the deep state is against us, the Hollywood elite is against us, and China is against us. But President Trump has the working man and woman, and nothing can beat that. Well, McEnany, and she's right on, by the way, McEnany was saying that during the commercial breaks and afterwards, people were cheering and applauding our president. Now, they gave you the appearance on NBC that it was, you know, everybody hated Donald Trump, but clearly that was not the case at all. So there you go. And there was the lady. My other favorite part, the lady behind the president who was just nodding every time the president was. It was great. It was terrific. All right, you know what? Before we get to Jamie and Tom, I want to go to our good friend Gene the Superfan. He is our official, unofficial correspondent covering all things Trump out there on the MAGA tour. Gene, you've been standing in line for upwards of 50 hours now. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing? And describe what's happening around you right now. Hello, Gene. All right, let's put Gene back on hold, and we're going to get Gene back. He's probably over at the Circle K, taking a little bit of a break because he's been out there for 50-some-odd hours. In the meantime, let's go to Hot Springs, Arkansas. Jamie's been holding on for a while. Hi, Jamie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Todd. It's good to be on the show, and I just wanted to mention about how Biden needs to be locked up in a mental asylum because he is having trouble doing all the stuff that he's going to mention. He takes on different, he says different words, and I also think Trump is doing a good job by giving us a cheaper health care.
Well, now, Jamie, let me say this, and again, I'm no fan of Biden. I don't think he's mentally insane. You think he needs to be locked up in a mental ward?
Yeah, because he gets mixed up on his words, and well, he just
Jamie, if you
I
if,
don't think is
Jamie, I got to tell you, if you lock up everybody that messes up their words, you're going to throw in half the country in the loony bin. No, look, I hear what you're saying. I don't think he's mentally off his rocker. I just think the guy is old. I think he does have dementia. Britt Hume says he's senile. I don't know. I haven't seen the guy's medical records. Why would I know that? But I can see that there has been a mental decline. I don't think you should lock somebody up for something like that. But I do question whether or not somebody like that has any business being around the Oval Office and whether or not they should have their finger on the trigger, as they say. Jamie, thank you for the call. Let's go to Joplin, Missouri. Tom listening to us on 12:30 a.m. Hi, Tom. What's going on today?
Morning, Todd. I feel like in this country right now, there is two different legal systems. There's one for the common man where we're persecuted to the fullest extent of the law most of the time. And then there's the rich and the elite where crime isn't really a crime if you can pay the fine. You get what I'm saying?
Tom, I know exactly what you're talking about. And to answer your question, I do believe there are two different legal systems. There actually may be three, Tom. One for the wealthy and the elite and those that are politically connected. There is another for illegal aliens. And then there's the rest of us, all the folks that go to work every day and pay our taxes on time and try to do the right thing.
I can agree with that. I guess to get to the question at the heart of that is, at what point do we the people say enough is enough and do something about it?
Tom, I think that's a terrific question. I think part of that, part of your question was answered in 2016 when we elected Donald Trump, somebody who promised to go in and clean out the deep state. And Tom, you and I both know that, and look, I am as rock solid conservative. I vote Republican, but you and I both know that the same thing is being done on the Republican side, where people are taking advantage of the political power. They're getting their kids these highfalutin jobs. And if you don't believe that, somebody explain to me why the Bush girls were on NBC working over at NBC. I mean, come on.
Absolutely. I'm 100% with you there.
And so look, Tom,
you know, here we are still waiting on Hillary to go to jail and Biden.
And you know something, Tom, early on, this was back when I was, you know, our show was on Fox News Radio. Early on, I warned Jim Jordan on our radio program and Mark Meadows. And I said, guys, you can't be pulling our leg on this investigation stuff, because if it comes down to election day, and we find out nobody's going to be brought to justice, and you guys have been stringing us along for 3 years, I think there's going to be blowback by the voters. I think people are going to be fed up with, and I think people are fed up with this, Tom.
There's a lot of people here that absolutely are. I can tell you that, Mr. Burns.
Yes, sir. No, sir. And I'm one of them, Tom. I'm one of them. So, Tom, thank you for listening to us over in Joplin. We love the good folks there at 1230 a.m. Fine people out there. You know what? Before I want to read this New York Times op-ed that dropped today. This is nutso. But before we do that, I want to go back to the phones. Kyle in Little Rock, Arkansas, wants to weigh in on that previous caller, Jamie from Arkansas. All right, Kyle, what's going on?
Well, I was just disappointed. It's good to talk to you, Mr. Starnes, about the perspective that some of our folks have of what to do with people when they have mental deficiencies. You don't lock people up unless they're criminally insane or that you put them in a protective place because they might injure themselves. But, it was just disappointing to hear. I don't know what age bracket that person was from, but our youth are growing into adults that don't look at things from the right perspective.
You know what it is, Kyle? And I hear you. And that's why I tried to, you know, steer that caller into the right way of thinking about all of this, because look, I mean, just a few moments ago, what did I call it? The New York Toast instead of the New York Post. I mean, what are they going to do? Throw me in the loony bin? I mean, come on. You know, I mean, sometimes things happen. And look, Biden can't control what's happening to him right now. He just can't do it. It's old age, and all of us are going to go through something like that as we get older. But here's what I think is really going on, Kyle. I think a lot of conservatives are trying to be like Donald Trump, you know, and you can't be like Donald Trump. Donald Trump is Donald Trump. That doesn't mean you should emulate Donald Trump. Donald Trump does a great job of being Donald Trump. I don't think the rest of us are going to do a great job of being Donald Trump.
Well, I don't always agree with the end justifies the means. I agree with all the policies that are coming around. I've talked to you in the distant past. He was not my first pick, but we went with what we had. So,
Not mine either. But you know what? He was the only choice on election day, and by golly, he's the only choice coming up on November 3rd.
Yes, sir, and I stand by it a second time. So,
me too. Kyle, thank you for calling in. I kind of interrupted Kyle there. I didn't mean to do that. So, Kyle, my apologies. All right, we've got Gene the super fan. Gene, we were concerned. We didn't know if like you got mugged or something happened to you, but you're okay. And tell us what's going on.
Let me tell you something, Todd. What happened was we went through the doors and we went through the Secret Service. We got scanned. So as you went to call me, I was running to my seat. So I want to let you know that Superfan's at his seat. I'm 10 steps away, and I'm eye to eye with our president once again. And if I can tell you about this crowd, Todd, it is unbelievably amazing. It goes from, I can't even tell you how far this stretches out in miles. And that's why we're going to win this election, Todd, because it's we the people, our movement, and we're the ones that run the show, and our president understands that, sir.
Gene, wow, I hear you. You've got a crowd there. You have an audience, Gene.
Oh, forget about it. You ready for this, Todd? Hey, guys, I want everybody. 4 more years. 4 more years. 4 more years. 4
This is great.
This is what we do, Todd.
Wow.
It's all about love and family.
Now, Gene, let me ask you. So you said you're about 10 feet away from where the president is going to be. Yes. What are you wearing so the crowd can look out for you on the rally later today?
I wear the same superfan outfit. I wear my shirt with the hug on it. I wear my black Levi's, and I got my black sneakers, and that's superfan style, straight up.
Superfan style. You got to get a registered trademark, Gene. This is brilliant. I love it.
Absolutely.
All right.
It's absolutely amazing, Todd.
Gene, look, you have a lot of fun, and tell all the listeners around you that we said hello, and we're going to be cheering for you guys and looking for you later on today on the television.
Would it be too late for a recap on Monday, or should we just let that go?
No, give us a call back, Gene. You're the unofficial official correspondent.
Thank you so much, Todd, and God bless everybody, and God bless you, Todd, and I'll talk to you Monday, okay?
All right, Gene. Hold the line there, sir. Gene the superfan. We should have gotten him a shirt or something, like a Todd Stern Show shirt, and then we can, like, cross-promote the brand. I mean, if he's going to be, 10 feet away from the president, so good for him. I wonder if the president is going to call him up again. You know, the president is a very affectionate man. I mean, we heard what last week it was to kiss all of the beautiful women and the men, too. And he hugged Gene the superfan, which is how Gene stepped onto the national platform, is that he gave Gene the superfan back in the day this big, beautiful, huge hug right there in front of God and country. So anyway, we'll check back in with Gene. Sounds like there's a lot of fun out there and a lot of folks in a good mood. Folks, we've got to take a break. When we come back, I want to read this editorial for you. This is pretty lowbrow, even by the standards of the New York Times. The headline, End Our National Crisis. This is written by the entire editorial board of the New York Times. We're going to post a link to this, a direct link in our live show blog. I'm just going to read the headline and the first sentence here. Donald Trump's reelection campaign poses the greatest threat to American democracy since World War II. So the New York Times, in effect, is comparing President Trump and the Trump administration to the Nazis. Mr. Trump's ruinous tenure already have gravely damaged the United States at home and around the world. He has abused the power of his office and denied the legitimacy of his political opponents, shattering the norms that have bound the nation together for generations. No, he's gone in and he's rooted out the deep swamp and the deep state. So he goes on and on and on. We'll read some more of this, and we may have to hold over this until the next hour of the program, but clearly the New York Times editorial board not voting for Donald Trump. 844-747-8868. Do you feel the tide turning here? Do you sense that a red wave is building? We'd like to know what's happening in your neighborhoods. Many of you are out doing the early voting. We're getting some indication that a lot of Republicans are getting out there and casting their votes. 844-747-8868. ToddStearns.com is our website. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Stearns.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Our good friend Doug Collins and Matt Schlapp are coming up a little bit later on. Also, the police blotter. We have some breaking crime news to share with you around the country. And we are celebrating on this radio program our one-year anniversary, Life After Fox News Channel. And because of your great support, over 7 million readers a month on our website. 76 radio stations now carry this show, and we are just so honored because it's all because of you. And we love hearing from our listeners. Let's go to the phones. Arkansas, Debbie listening to us on KARN. Hi, Debbie. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just wanted to call in and put our support in for Trump in this area. We really like Trump, and most of my family are Trumpers. Got one or two hanging out there, but the majority of us are Trumpers, and put our signs out in the yard. We had one stole one night. My husband was so aggravated, but we're true Trump fans. I think he's doing a wonderful job for our country, and we need him badly right now at this time in this era of big time.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, Debbie. And we've got to make sure that we get every single person in our families out to vote on Election Day, or if you're doing early voting, get them out there and cast those ballots.
Yep. I have a 95-year-old father-in-law. He has Alzheimer's dementia, but he knows who Trump is. He wanted the Trump sign, and he voted in the primary, and we're going to get him out and vote in the election. He wants to vote, so he's going to take it. Take him and let him vote. He's a World War II veteran.
Is that right?
He's not disabled. Yep. He doesn't use a cane, doesn't use a walker, healthy as a horse. But, you know, that dementia and Alzheimer's takes you down. And what Biden's got, we've already seen in my father-in-law, so he definitely has it. You don't need him as a president, let me tell you.
So Debbie, so you're seeing the same, you know, you're seeing the same symptoms.
Oh, yeah. My father-in-law's are even worse now. They're a lot worse. A lot of delusional and different things going on with him, but he was in that stage. Right now, he can't. His words don't come out. Sometimes he can't get his words out. He says, you know, deer or hogs, or he just can't get things. His mind doesn't think properly because it's just tearing his brain up.
It just eats
your brain away.
And it's sad. I mean, it's really sad. Yeah. But Debbie, I mean, what happened with your father-in-law? You surround your father-in-law. The family takes care of him and protects him.
Yep.
And look at what Joe Biden's family is doing.
Yeah, I'm putting him out there in danger of the whole country, let alone letting him, you know, put it out there publicly for everyone to see. That's so sad because, you know, it's just a hard thing to watch. There, my husband, we live right next door to him.
And, sure.
It's hard to watch that decline. You know, he's 3 weeks later, he's worse than he was 3 weeks before. You know, every week is a little bit worse, a little bit worse, and every day. And you put somebody in president like that, they're going to take him out anyway if he got in. So
No doubt about that. Yeah. Well, Debbie, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell your father-in-law that he has a lot of fans on this radio program, and we salute his support and his service to this great country of ours. Will you do that for us?
I will. There's not a lot of World War II veterans left. No, he was in two of them, Korea and World War II.
No, ma'am, you're not. Wow. You're right about that, though. All right, Debbie, thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening to us in Alexander, Arkansas. We've got some more dirt on Hunter Biden coming up. And, folks, my sources are telling me that some of the other stuff that's yet to come out is flat-out disgusting. I mean, pervy stuff. All right, stick around. We'll be right back.